Welcome to the Edinburgh Elam Church podcast. Thanks for tuning in. If you'd like more information or to find out what's happening this week, please visit www.edinburghelam.com.
Shalom. Thank you very much for this welcoming. My name is Jaziel. I'm from Brazil, and I'm very happy to be here to share the God's word to you. And we are in that series of No Higher Name, and I want to thank you for staying with us and learning about the names and titles of the Lord. So we've heard about Yehovah Nissi, the Lord is our banner or our flag. We've heard about last Sunday, Pastor Gordon gave us a great message about Yehovah Tzidkenu. Tzidkenu means the Lord is our justice or our righteousness. So it was a very powerful message. And today we are going to the name or title Yehovah Shalom. That's the reason I said Shalom. Shalom is a greeting in Israel. And Yeshua, Jesus, used to greet the people, his disciples, with shalom. Shalom is a powerful word from the Hebrew language, from the Bible. And there is a powerful meaning behind this word, shalom. What do you think about this, the meaning of shalom? Shalom means peace. This is generally speaking, is peace. But I want to show you more beyond that meaning. So I have some help here. Just me borrow something. Someone, could you help me, Alvin, please? Let me ask you, would you like peace?
Yes.
Of course. So I give you peace.
Okay.
Would you like prosperity?
Yes.
Oh, who knows? Yeah? Who not? I give you prosperity. Would you like wellness? Give you wellness. Would you like something else? Say again?
All of it.
You want all of it. Okay? So, if you want all of it, I will give you shalom. This shalom. Shalom is more than only peace. Thank you very much. If you want something, you can bring it. Thank you. So, shalom. It's beyond than only peace. It's wellness. It's prosperity. It's health. It's everything from the Lord. Everything the Lord has to me and you, to your family, to your generations, to our country, is shalom. That's the reason we can say shalom to each other. Could you look to your right, to your left, and say shalom. Shalom to you, brother. Shalom to you, sister. Because this is the meaning of shalom. Now, you're going to use a part of the Bible is Judges. I'd like to invite you to open the God's Word in Judges, the seventh book of the Old Testament, the book of Judges, or Shofetim in Hebrew. So, God raised some men and women to lead the people when they are in trouble. Because this is everything that happened with us. Every time we are in trouble, God sent a messenger with the message of God to us. So it's the same. It never changes. So in Judges chapter 6, you're going to read about Yehovah Shalom. Let me give you some background here. So if you go to the verse 10. The verse 10 says, I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. So that's the background here. God said to his people, I am your God. I am exclusively yours. So God is saying to you this morning, He is exclusively His God to you, your God. So you don't need nothing. Nothing less than him. Because there is no one like him. So he's the unique God, the powerful God, and he's yours. And you belong to him. So that's the deal. That's the big covenant. That's our alliance. We have a God, and this God is only mine. It's only yours. So you don't need anything else. So that's the deal. They had a deal, and God is saying, look, you don't need to go and look after anything else, just me. Just praise me with all your heart, with all your soul, because I'm sufficient. I am the Lord, the God Almighty. But I didn't finish the verse 10. The verse 10 said, but you have not listened to me. Unfortunately, that's what happens. If you go to the first verse of chapter 6, you're going to read this. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So sometimes we do evil. We sin because we are sinners. We are failure. We are humans. We fail. That's the reason we are here. We need the Lord to make us perfect, to make us saints, to make us holy, because he is holy. So, because they did evil in the eyes of the Lord, for 7 years, the Lord gave them into the hands of the Midianites. So now the people of Israel were in trouble. They are in trouble and struggling. They are impoverished. They are famine. They are with, because the Midianites came against them in that season when they are harvest. We got our harvest to keep the fruit, to take the fruit of the land. But the Midianites came in that time and steal everything and steal the crops and steal the ox and steal everything, leaving nothing to the people of Israel. And they are in trouble. So they hide in the caves and the mountains. The testimony was very interesting because the people of Israel went to the mountains and the valleys were full of the Midianites with their tents and their camels. The Bible says you couldn't count them. And now they are struggling to get food. So now we start the verse 11 of Judges chapter 6. So the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, when his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press. Threshing wheat in a wine press. Okay. To keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Interesting, eh? The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. But, verse 13, Gideon said, pardon me, my Lord. Gideon replied, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. The Lord... Hey, look at that. There's something different in there. Because in verse 11 it said, the angel of the Lord. And now the verse 14 is saying, the Lord himself. Did you catch that? You got it? The Lord. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Verse 15, again, pardon me, my Lord. Oh, this guy is stubborn. Gideon replied, "But how can I save Israel? My clan, my tribe, is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." And Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that is really you talking to me. Please don't go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." And Gideon went inside, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour he made bread without yeast, putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot. He brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. This is very interesting because this is the Lord. Only the Lord can accept offering. If it was an angel, the angel would say, no, I can't accept because the Lord is jealous. The glory is only to him. He doesn't share his glory. You know, you have a jealous God. All your glory, all your worship is to him and only him. And the angel of God, verse 20, the angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread with the tip of the staff that was in his hand. Fire fled from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread. And the angel of the Lord disappeared. Wow, what an amazing experience. So that moment, Gideon realized that was the angel of the Lord. And he exclaimed, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face." He is saying this because he is afraid to death. He's in fear to death because that powerful experience. But I have good news. Verse 23. But the Lord said to him, what he said? Shalom. Again, what he said? Shalom. Shalom. Do not be afraid. We are not going to die. Amen. It's a powerful experience, but as can you see, in the beginning was not easy, because God shows up the weakest man from the weakest clan, the least of his tribe, and the guy was hidden yourself, or looking on the shoulders and threshing it in the wine press, doing everything like a spy. And keep that food to his family, to his clan, from the Midianites, from the enemy. This is very interesting, because despite all the problems, all the troubles, he was doing something. Are you doing something? He was doing his best. We need to do our best. We need to do our best with the resources we have. Till we got better resources. This is called dedication, not to be mediocre. That's the reason we are here. We are doing our best. You have to do your best with your family to feed your family. But not only with food, but sustain your family with the word of God, with your prayers. Are you doing your best with your prayers? Pray for your family, pray for your history, pray for your job, pray for your mates. That's the reason we have to do something, because God likes people who do something. And he shows Gideon, because Gideon was doing something. Despite all the problems, all the troubles, he was dedicated to do something, to feed his family. It's amazing. And he was there. And God appeared to him. the angel of the Lord. This is what we call theophany. Theophany is the word from theophania, the Greek word. It means appearance of the Lord himself. He is in person there. He appeared to Gideon to say to him something very important. And he starts saying, the Lord is with you. Sometimes we are like Gideon, doing our best and fighting and trying to do and try to improve our resources and try fighting against the traps in the life. And sometimes we feel we are alone. We are far away from God. But God is just beside us saying, I'm with you. I'm with you, my child. I'm with you. Don't be afraid. I am with you. And he said, mighty warrior. Look, Gideon was threshing it in the wine press, trying to keep it from the enemies. He was doing everything, concerned about it, looking around, very fearful. And God said, you are a mighty warrior. You are a mighty warrior. But he was not fighting against the enemy. He was fighting to feed his family. So I can tell you, you are a warrior. And what are you doing now? You are a great warrior because you are in a battle. But I have good news for you. You are on the winner side. You are the right side. The right side is beside God. Amen. So what we need here is adjust our perspective to understand what is happening here. So could you go to the next slide, please? This is important verse when it says Isaiah 26, verse 3 and verse 4, about the perfect peace, about the shalom. What shalom? This guy, Gideon, this man, he was looking for perfect peace. But he was not in peace. So Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4, you will keep in perfect peace and perfect shalom those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord. The Lord himself is the rock eternal. So you need this perfect peace. Gideon was needing from a perfect peace. And now we need to adjust our perspective with the view of the Lord about us. Sometimes we have a wrong perspective about ourselves. So the first thing is adjust your perspective. Next one, please. Sometimes our perspective is wrong and we are like that spies Moses sent to the land to see. And sometimes he sent 12 spies, one for each tribe. And 40 days after they come back and they said, oh, the land is good. The land is amazing. The land is so beautiful. The land is, well, God is good. The land is good as well. But there is a problem. There is a problem there. The people. The people live in the land. They are giants. They are big. They are strong. And we are like grasshoppers in their eyes. And we are like grasshoppers in our own eyes. Sometimes we are like that, guys. We look to us and say, oh, I'm so weak. I'm so seen. I'm so fragile. What can I do? I don't have any skills, any ability. I don't know the Bible. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to deal with the problems coming from the spiritual world, supernatural world. I need help. Sometimes we are this way. So you need to adjust our perspective with the eyes of the Lord. And thank God, among the 12 spies, there were two guys. One was Joshua, another Caleb. And one of them said, no, wait. Okay, you're right. The land is good, but the people live in the land. They are big. They are stronger than us. But wait a minute. We have the Lord. We have the Lord Almighty. Look what we did. Open the sea. Open the Red Sea to us. Look to the miracles he did. So they are forgetting the power for God we have. So that's the reason we need to adjust our perspective. Okay, let's go to the first point here. And the God's perspective is like, we can read in 1 Corinthians 1. This is very well-known verse. 1 Corinthians 1:27, but God shows the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God shows the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God shows the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. So when you are feeling about you like a fool, like a weak, like the last resource, the no abilities, no skilled. So remember, God shows you. You are chosen for God. This verse reminds me when we go to the market to buy some fruits. You know, when you go to the market or anywhere, a shop to buy fruits, and you are there this way. You see that? Sometimes I catch people doing this. Ah, this is not good. No. Too dry. And they are doing this. And they just pick the best fruit, the best vegetables to his family, to their family, you know what I mean? They choose the best. They're selecting. We are selective. God is the only one who can choose anyone without sin. No good, too dry, damaged. But I will transform. I will change from the damage, from the ruined. I will change the situation. It's not good to the man. It's not good to the people, but it's good for me. Our God is the only one can do this. He can choose the weakest, the foolish, the lowly. Because when he did this, when he shows you, when he shows the weakest, when he shows me, he was saying, I'm going to do great things using that guy. And when he looked to the past, looked behind him, he's going to say, wow, I did everything. Wow, how is that possible? And he remembered, it was not for me. It was not for my skills. It was not for my capability. It's not for mine. This is only God. God in my life. God in your life, changing your future, changing your history, changing your past. Hallelujah. So I encourage you to adjust your perspective like 1 Samuel chapter 16, when God sends Samuel to choose one of the sons of Jesse, and Jesse bring all the strong sons. Beautiful, amazing. Somewhere I look at it, that one. I'm sure, that one. And the Lord said, No. How? Why not? He's powerful. He's a leader. He's a born leader. And God said, no. Because you look to the external. You look to the external things. How look like. No, I look in the heart. I look inside. My view is different. So that's the reason I'm saying to you, God is looking to your inner, to your spirit, to your soul this morning. So be humble, be happy, and be available. Just say, I'm here, Lord. Send me. What do you want to do about me and through me? Feel free to do it because I'm here and I'm yours and you are mine. Amen. Thank you very much. Adjust your perspective. So next one, I'm going to show you. I thought there was a small table here. So I'm going to show you the difference between the perspective of the Lord and the perspective of the Gideon. The Lord said, I'm with you. You are a mighty warrior. Gideon was fearful. The Lord, go in your strength and save Israel. Gideon was stressed. The Lord said, I'm sending you. Gideon was coward. And the Lord, I will be with you. And Gideon, I'm weak. God said, I will wait until you return with your offer to me. And Gideon was feeling forgotten. And the Lord said, Shalom be upon you. You're not going to die. This is a promise of life. But Gideon was doubtful. So that's the difference between the perspective of Gideon and the Lord. So this morning, the Lord is saying to you, adjust your perspective. Adjust your view. Adjust your looking. Look to you now like the people look to you. Don't be afraid about them. Don't be concerned about what the people are saying or thinking about you because I don't have any commitment with them. I have an alliance. I have a covenant with you. So the most important thing here, how I can see you. How I can find your soul. So that's the reason we need to adjust our perspective and our perspective should say the same like the Lord's perspective about our lives. Second point here, accept the challenge. Gideon was challenged to save Israel. It's very interesting because he said, the Lord said, the Lord is with you. And he said, pardon me, my Lord, but if the Lord, the God, the Lord Almighty was with us, wait a minute. He said, I'm with you, not with the people, not only with them. I am with you. So it's very interesting because we need to change everything to the personal view. God is our God. Amen. God is our hero. Yes, amen. But he's your God personally. Not only the church God. No, he's your God. He's calling to you. He's calling you. He's talking to you personally now. Through this word, he's talking to you and saying, I am with you. Don't be afraid. You are not alone. Maybe this morning we made a prayer and you say, oh Lord, I feel I'm alone. In this battle, I feel I'm alone, I'm forgotten. And the Lord is saying this morning to you, I am with you. You are not alone. Because he got great plans to you. So accept the challenge God has to you. He's challenging me and challenging you to great things. We have great challenges outside. We have a country, we have a country to remind them our God remind the great miracles in the past. We need to do something to change everything, to positioning. Do you understand me? You have a great mission ahead of you. We have a great mission. All of you. All of us. And now, Gideon, after he asked for a confirmation, and there is nothing wrong about that. When you feel, oh, I need confirmation about this, you can do this. I do this. I do this. Every time I think, maybe it's from my head, maybe it's from me. Okay, Lord, give me a sign. Give me a word. Show me the path, show me the way. And he did so. And after that, he accepted the challenge. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Give you fully, without restrictions. Because God, he wants everything from you. All your heart, all your soul, all your praise, all your worship, all your prayers, all your hope, everything. In Psalms 44, verse 22, for your sake we face death all day long. We face death. But I'm gonna tell you, the death is nothing when we have God. So don't be afraid, because he's with you. So accept the challenge, because God is going to do great things through you. And finally, shalom. Shalom is waiting for you at the end. We have a great promise here. And I can assure you, by my personal experience, God is faithful to accomplish every promise. Every single promise he made to you. So, shalom is when everything is done. Everything is perfect. There is no fault. There is no any problem. There is no trouble. This is shalom. Shalom is when God do everything he said he's going to do for you. In Jeremiah 17:8, the book of the prophet Jeremiah 17, verse 8, we can read, they will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It doesn't fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. That's the promise the Lord to you. So don't be afraid, because this is shalom. When everything is good and everything is perfect, this is shalom. And shalom is waiting for you at the end. So we have great promise here. Do you understand me? Are you here? Tell you, good morning, shalom. I repeat, he has great promise to you. Shalom at the end. When everything is bad, when everything is fearful, when everything is going not good, at the end you can remind yourself, shalom is waiting for me. Shalom is waiting for me. Shalom is waiting for my family. Shalom is waiting for my history. Shalom is my legacy. So that's the reason we are here. God is reminding you, shalom, I have big shalom to you. So why? Why you are fearful? Romans chapter 4. The letter of Paul to Romans chapter 4. Verse 18, against all hope, This is very interesting. Against all hope. This is very important. Sometimes people, there is no hope about you, about me. They don't expect anything. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. So that's the word of the Lord to you this morning. Shalom is waiting for you at the end. So when you have shalom, you have perspective and purpose. When you combine purpose and perspective, the right perspective about you, you have shalom. Because shalom is not ausence or lackness of trouble. Shalom is not a noir state. Shalom is more than that. It's not about where you are. It's about who is with you. So I'm asking you, who is with you? The Lord is with you. And he will be with you forever till the end, because he is faithful. Amen. Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. I just want to pray for you. Just please bow your heads and let's pray. And let's thank the Lord for such great promise, such encouraging word, because he is our shalom. And shalom is waiting for us at the end. Oh, hallelujah. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam. We are praying for you, Lord, because you are great. You are amazing. And we have promises for you. We are here because you called us, like you called Gideon. And you have accepted our offer. You have great plans for us. And we are happy because you are with us, because you are with us every day, every morning. Your mercy is renewed. Your promises stand forever. So now, I'm going to pray for my brothers and sisters to renew their hope, renew their faith, just strengthen and make them aware to accept the challenge you have to us. And always remind us, shalom is waiting for us at the end, because you are our shalom. We pray in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Edinburgh Elam podcast. Tune in next week for another life-giving word. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at Edinburgh Elam.